Today I'd like to direct each and every one of your ensembles of life, let's just say, your being, to the one word that encompasses our life today, whether we realize it or not. And I'm going to utilize the word stress. Whether you realize it or not, how you conquer it yourself, whatever remedy you utilize to get through it. I want to address it a little differently in this setting. Today I'd like to look at the five leading causes of stress. Then I would like to look at these items from the viewpoint in the eyes of the world tomorrow. The things you get put through today, the drudgery, the ideals that are forced down you causes you stress, vexed. I'd like to look at how different it'll be in the world tomorrow. Stress is a normal physical response to events that make you feel threatened or upset by definition. And your balance, and they threaten or upset your balance in some way. The title of the sermon is Responding to Stress in the World Tomorrow. And that's an oxymoron. I don't usually utilize oxymorons as a title, but you'll see it as we go through these point by point. First of all, I'd like us to consider this is going to be a world tomorrow of peace. This is going to be a world tomorrow where the ideals of today, the engines of today, that cause you stress are going to be removed, as you've heard several times this week. When you think about the world you live in today, we see items which cause you stress. What we need to consider is the cause of stress and compare it, is what we'll be doing here, to what the Bible tells us caused our patriarch stress. Think about how we deal with it, and then consider how it'll be in the world tomorrow. But I want to point out a couple of verses first. Let's go to John 16. Way too often when we think about the woes are us, and everything's around us and encompasses us as we have all the woes in the world upon us. And I call it at work the Eeyore theory. If you're familiar with Winnie the Pooh, there's a cloud. It's over my head. Eeyore. All the woes and stress stop there. Well, I want you to pick up on a couple of verses that the Bible directs that we need to be remember. John 16 and verse number 32. Verse number 31. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour comes, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered. Every man to his own. He shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." I want to reflect verse 33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Because in the world ye shall have tribulation." He knew it. He knew this wasn't going to be an easy road. This present life we live, there would be stress. We would have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I, Christ making the statement, have overcome the world. What does that mean? Overcome means to conquer. So Christ tells you, I've been tested. I've been there. There's no acclimate at all that you've been through that Christ has not been tested the same way. There could be no better judge. You think about the government in the world tomorrow that he establishes, he understands. Does he understand today? Yeah. And you think about the earnest of the God's Holy Spirit that you receive. You think about the help. The ability to overcome. That just doesn't come by half a chance. And here, he knows what you're facing. He's saying, I beat it. You can too. This depression, these items that affect you today, I beat it. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:13, when you read it, he tells you he's not going to give you more than you can handle. It's not in my notes. I'm just giving you the verse. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. He'll know how much stress you can take now. But he's been there. Let's continue. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. You do not have an advocate that's just a blank check that hasn't been tested. That's the point. Hebrews 4 and verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like you are, yet he did not sin. Think about a world tomorrow where you're going to have leadership not just with desire, but a Holy Spirit that isn't going to utilize what we see in the world today. But we have an advocate today that's been tested. So when you think of stress, when you think of vexation or vexing, getting vexed, you walk through the, I've heard comments, I did not watch the debate, but your comments on the debate and how certain networks are responding to the debate and how it vexes some of us that certain are liberal and they're looking at every word playing on one individual or another. And as we go through our society today, that causes us stress. Because wouldn't you like to see just something fair? You think about the world tomorrow. That's going to be one item where you're not going to have all these obstacles in front of you, these stresses that I covered today. They're going to be removed. Major difference today on our personal lives and what we're going to receive in the world tomorrow. Studies conducted from Holmes and Raw of the University of Washington. There are several studies, but I chose this one. I thought it was pretty good. Also, studies that have been conducted time to time, it seems that the following are the biggest causes of present-day stress. Stress levels in modern societies. I'm going to give you five. Then we're going to compare them. We're going to look at our forefathers, patriarchs of the past. We're going to see how they handled these five problems. And we're going to look at how it's going to be handled in the world tomorrow. To do that, we'll get moving forward. Number one, top five causes of stress today. Number one, financial problems. Financial problems are the top issue. So I'm going to read the five, then we're going to get into the Bible verses. Financial problems. This is the cause of one source of stress these days. You and your family are not able to do what you want to do because of the lack of money. They just worded it simply. Debts are piling up, credit card payments, pending mortgage installments, rising costs, education, mounting expenditures on health concerns. Financial matters. Top of the list. Things people relate to. With inflation, you know, we heard at the business meeting, look at what's happening with the dollar bill. And gold, I understand, is just going crazy the last few days. When you think about the financial matters that are out of your control, health issues come up. Some of these other forms take place. Do you feel stress? Yeah, I can see it. Number two is workplace stress. Workplace stress at the workplace is another main cause of stress. You may worry about your next promotion. You may be facing a negative bully behavior of your boss, bullying of your boss. You might not be reaching your well-deserved career goals. You might not be worried due to office politics. You might not be worried due to office politics. You might be stressed about some major change that takes place in the organization, or you might be under stress because the prospect, straightforward, of losing your job. Work stress. You ever participated in work stress? Three, personal relationships. Studies of children, attitudes of relatives, arguments with spouse and children, or children, change in place due to requirements of job, illness of family member, moving of parents, or moving out of elder children, all causes of stress. Health, number four. Heart diseases, hypertension, problems with eyesight, and sugar afflict many people, becoming a major cause of stress for them. Maintaining good health, reducing weight, increasing weight, being able to lead a healthy lifestyle. All of these, and a few more. Health concerns. The fifth item, irritants. Teenagers, millennials, Besides the ones that I've mentioned above there, you know, there are a lot of annoyances and irritants. Let me give you an example. Problems with communicating in the workplace, balance of work and family life, parent-teacher meetings at school, workload, visits, mother-in-laws. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't say that. Not enough sleep. No time to relax, no time to discuss, nagging problems. How many irritants affect us? So simple. Go through financial problems, workplace stress, personal relationships, health irritants. Somebody's going to fall into some of those places, right? Yeah. Our forefathers went through similar modes. Were they handled correctly? I want you to keep focus. It's when the people violated or when things were broken, when pacts were broken, people were put into a stress mode. You'll see that today. Does the Bible provide examples of financial issues causing stress? Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 5. We pick it up. Let's get moving forward here. Ecclesiastes 5. In verse number 9, moreover, the profit of the earth is for all, and the king himself is served by the field. He that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loves abundance with the increase. Can't get enough. Does that cause stress? How many people do you hear are never happy that are wealthy? How many times do you hear that slogan and statement? They have mass wealth and all they want is more. When goods are increased, they eat them. For what good is there for the owners thereof? Saying the beholding of them with their eyes. The sleep of laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much. But an abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Always nagging, always trying to keep what he has. But notice we'll continue in verse 13. It says severe evil, which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth the son, and there is nothing in his hand. All this inheritance, once he passes, as Job said, you can't, taking it. All the work they've done, where was their priorities? Can money cause stress? You bet. Absolutely. Not being satisfied with what you have. Can we learn from that? With what you've been given, the constraints that you live within, not being satisfied, always wanting more, is that what God desires from a first fruit, from someone called? According to the Belu Group, rich people pay around $1,500 a day. $1,500 a day for personal bodyguards. Is that stress? Security is becoming one of the major expenses for a lot of operations to keep executives safe. That's the world we presently live in. What a change. I mean, when you start, if you weren't ensconced in the Bible, when you start thinking of all the problems this world has, you could get depressed. Couldn't you? Think about how scary it is when somebody that's accumulated wealth has to worry about their kids not being kidnapped. Has to worry about being able to make it from point A to point C. Yeah. Something that you're not going to have to worry about in the world tomorrow. Abductions, the list goes on. Acts 5. We're very familiar with these verses, but this is another cause. What happens as you put all your credence into finance? You pick it up here in Acts 5, verse number 1. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. So they had money for the sold possession. And they kept back part of it for a price, his wife also, being privy to it. They bought a certain part, and they laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled, you think about our adversary, thy heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the piece of land, our price of the land? And we understand what took place here. Was this a financial issue that caused this individual stress? And was it necessary? You know, the Bible, God directs us 10%. What about all the taxes that have taken place in between times? I mean, in 1913, we gave the power to Congress to start charging income tax. How smart are we? Paying taxes? Do the rich pay their share? You know, I've looked it up. Have you taken the time, or do you just listen to the debate go back and forth? You know, when Romney picks on the 47%, I'm not a Romney fan, and I'm not an Obama fan. So I'm really messed up, right? But with that said, I like seeing the more conservative individual that's not going to lie right to my face because I feel slapped. And when you talk about 47%, it's disturbing to me that somebody can make a comment that these 47% need to contribute and people are in an uproar about it when the Bible is pretty direct. If you don't work, you don't eat. And when you say stuff like that, you're not tolerant to diversity or whatever else you want to say to me. This is not going to be the premise in the world tomorrow. How exciting. How exciting when everybody works. Taxes paid by the highest incomes. The top 1% pay 22.7% of all taxes. In America, 1% pay 22.7% of the taxes in America. That means 99% pay 77.3. Top 10% pay 50% of all taxes in America. That means 90%, look at the scale, 90% pay 50% of the taxes in America. The top 20 pay 65.3% of the taxes in America. Is this justice? Is that right? And you hold those individuals accountable? I'm not an advocate of people with Learjets and how we have the economic society set up. But we have a society set up for people that believe that they're owed it without anything. And you have a society of people that's going to take it from you after you've earned it. That's really what you gather today. I don't want to get into philosophy of taxes. When you look at these numbers, you have to say, where is the rest of the world in saying this isn't right? Top 40% pay 84.3% of the taxes. That leaves 15.7. For the rest of the 60%. Now, with that said, taxes paid by the lowest incomes, the bottom 20% pay 1.1, the bottom 40% pay 6.1. This is going to be put, there's going to be an end put to this in the world tomorrow. And you talk about financial stress, we bring it on ourselves, don't we? And we have. It's been set up, you're not going to win. You go to a credit card, you get a credit card at 8%, you're feeling pretty good about it until 4 months in, then they're going to juice you for 27.9 or whatever it is, right? It's not set up for you to win. And if you got one of those mileage plan credit cards, good luck with that. Because all I get is block out most of the time. Think about a world, as we've talked already. We live in a world that's not tolerant for God's laws. That's not going to be the world tomorrow. Paying taxes is a stress for a rich person, individual. Well, you know what? I'm not sure if it's a stress. Like, as you see money go into the Cayman Islands and all these other things, my biggest issue, I'll be honest, with picking on an individual for money being overseas and doing all these things, my biggest issue with that, you get my personal opinion, my biggest issue is this. He didn't do his own taxes. He had somebody do his taxes for him. And he paid somebody to do his taxes for him to do as much as he could so he could maintain or keep as much as he could, right? Wouldn't that be good business? Yet we still have it backwards. We pick on it. And all I'm bringing to the forefront of everybody's mind here is this. It's wrong. The way it's set up today, financial stress, we bring a lot of it on ourselves by all these offers. But corporate greed has put us in a position that it's not biblical, haven't they? It won't be that way in the world tomorrow. Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse number 19. And this is a major statement. Matthew 6 and verse number 19. Lay not yourself your treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. For there are thieves that break through and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor corrupt, where there are thieves do not break in or steal. And that's the premise. As you go through this point by point, Old Testament, stress, patriarchs. How about this example? Let's go to Judges 14. And there's several things. I mean, Solomon had a lot of stress. And what brought him to be, and he talks about it. But Judges 14... Judges 14 and verse number 18. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day. And you remember, Samson comes to this group of individuals and Philistines. And as he comes to them, they make a bet. And basically the bet is you can decipher my riddle. And this is the breakdown of the riddle. And it says, the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? He said unto them, what is stronger than a lion? What is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if you had not plowed my heifer, you had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit came unto him, and he went down into Ashkelon, and he slew 30 men, because that's what the wager was. You think about financial in this element and why I chose it. It costs people's lives. As we walk through stress, as we look at the world tomorrow, how many people hold fast to a dollar bill? How many people can't get enough? How many people in the world today put all their treasure on what's around them, on their goods, their physical products? This is going to be a priority that'll be removed. That's not going to be the first and foremost item in people's mind. What a change that'll be in the world tomorrow. That stress. Always demanding more is a demonic concept. That's not of God. And that's something we need to pay attention to in our lives. So why do we pay taxes? You know, Christ made the statement here in Matthew 22 that we need to attribute. Matthew 22, in verse number 19, show me thy tribute money. And he brought unto him a penny, and he said unto them, whose image is on the subscription? And he said unto him, Caesar's. And Christ makes the comment. Then saith he unto them, render thou therefore unto Caesar that things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And that's the premise we need to live with. You know, in 1 Samuel, what was the first item that was brought to the people? He sat there and said, what? If you want a king instead of God, he's going to take your sons for this premise, for that premise. He's going to take your daughters for this premise and that premise. He's going to take a tenth. He's going to require this from you and that from you. And the rule over a man is over you. And Christ addresses that here. Render what to Caesar is Caesar's, but you render what to God is God's. And we look at this financial stress. If you're on your knees and you're doing what's right before him, he's going to bless you. That's what's stated. Are you going to get financial troubles, trials? You bet. You need to be tested. Everybody goes through something to that aspect. The world tomorrow is going to be a little different. It's a world of prosperity, and there won't be such a weighted item where 1% owns so much of the world. Something else to consider. Men asking for what part? History documents taxation in Egypt, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Talk about a carryover. Talk about a burden. Something that's going to be removed. We asked for it in 1913. How about stress in the workplace? What causes it today? Lack of control? You know, financially, you can see the difference. How about stress in the workplace? What causes it? Lack of control, higher workloads, unrealistic bullying, unrealistic individuals, our goals, bullying, ineffective management, overmanagement, blame culture. I love that one, blame culture. Does the Bible give examples of these? Yes. Let's turn to Genesis 16. It does. And you know what? When I was doing points here, I came across this and I started thinking of examples. Put yourself in these individuals' shoes. And you think of a stressful situation and you get depressed and you think you're having problems. Let's do it. Genesis 16, verse number 1. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. So I pray thee that go into my maid, that I may be obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Stress? Can't imagine how stressful this family relationship became on all three aspects. You know, we read it over and we look at it. This isn't what God intended, is it? As it continues, and he went into Hagar and he conceived, and she saw that he had conceived, and her mistress was despised in her eyes. Stress? And Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee, for I have given my maid into thy bosom. And she saw that she had conceived. And I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judged between me and thee. Thy Lord judged between me and thee. Stress? But Abraham said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do unto her as it pleases thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Where do you want to place it? Bullying? What aspect? We understand what takes place with this individual, the Hagar, and what actually became of her child. But you forget, as we look at the beginning here, you forget the stress that each of these individuals went through. Now, I don't believe anybody has had a relationship that's going to compare with that period of time those women had to get along. And where you have a husband, you think there was remorse? When you put yourself in these positions and you talk to yourself here, some individuals didn't cause it, but they still received the stress. You're the same victim. How will it be in the world tomorrow? You're not going to have people making decisions. You're not going to have individuals making decisions which are going to be ungodly or misdirected. I'm not judging this situation. I'm telling a general overall. How about the next? Genesis 39. Tell me if this was a stressful situation. I used the word, yes. Genesis 39, verse number 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. This is Potiphar. This is an officer in Egypt. Left all that he had in Joseph's hands, for he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass that after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Carnal. This is a carnal concept. And he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He has committed all this to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept anything back from me but you. You know the biblical premises. Because thou art his wife. So how then can I do this? This is before commandments were given in Sinai. Great wickedness and sin against God. Stress. I would say so. I would say this individual had to address stress. When you go through life and you think about 1 Corinthians 10:13, and God promises he's not going to give you more than you can handle, and you find yourself in a position to where you're having issues handling it, what do you do? If you get on your knees in prayer and it's not being answered, do you ask yourself, what obstacles in front of me that's keeping it from being answered? If you think it's a trial, do you ask yourself, what trial do I need to overcome to move it forward? In the world tomorrow, when God's knowledge is with everyone, and it's there, and you don't have all these adulterous concepts, that it's okay. How different will the world be? Yeah, I'd say this individual had some stress. It was caused. As he continues down, it says, it came to pass that she spoke to Joseph day by day, and he hearkened not to lie with her or to be with her. And it came to pass that about that time, Joseph went into the house to do his business, and it continues. She caught him by surprise in garment, with his garment. The point is the same as what you already know. The Bible gives clear examples when you talk about stress even in the workplace. It tells you financially there'll be stress. A lot of it we bring on ourselves. But it's telling you also the stress in the workplace, you bet. Now, what challenge are you going to be given between now and the point where you're going to, let's say, retire or pass away, that is not going to, it's going to be too much for you to handle? It's not possible. You've been given something that the rest of the world hasn't been given, and you're told to live in patience. You're told to live in joy. You're told to have hope. These are the principles of the world tomorrow. So with all the stress in the workplace, you're not going to have an attitude where somebody's going to bully you or somebody's going to ask you to do something unbiblical. But it happens all the time today, doesn't it? Genesis 40, verse number 2. And Pharaoh was wroth against the two officers and against the chief and the butlers and against the chief of bakers. And he put them in a ward in the house of the captain of the guard into a prison in a place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them to serve them and continue the season inward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, one by night, a night, each according to their interpretation of the dream. Now, you're serving the Pharaoh. He doesn't like whatever you did. You're in jail. Stress? You have a dream as you read these dreams. You have a dream, you don't understand what it is. Stress? After the dream's interpreted, how do you think the baker felt? Yeah, workplace stress. You think you have stress at work? Why don't you turn to that, read that every day? Yeah, we don't have the stresses. It could be worse. That's the point. You don't make enough money. You don't do this. This isn't done. You don't like the way your boss reacts. Well, get in line, right? You get on your knees, pray for change. I remember one time I prayed for change and then found out my division manager was transferred at the end of the week. I felt empowered. Bring on the next guy. It was a girl. Not that that's bad. She was okay. So with that said, you don't know. But God's going to test us. In the world tomorrow, you're not going to have unrighteous judges. You're not going to have unrighteous bosses, bullies. It's not going to be tolerated. You think about the principles of joy, love, perseverance, kindness, what we should be reacting to and living today. That's the qualities that God's looking for. All these other things are not of God. Acts 22, Acts 22. And verse number 24. And the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, and he bade him that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know where before he cried so against him. As they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, "Is it lawful for you? Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" Stress? Read it yourself. What does it tell you? This centurion all of a sudden had a massive change of heart, didn't he? How did you become a free man? How did you become a Roman? These examples show bullying. I mean, they show how many different elements. Genesis 3. Why did you violate? Who told you that you're naked? Well, the woman gave us, did you eat of the fruit? And what was the comment? Well, the woman you gave me an apple. And what did she say? Well, the serpent. Blame culture from the first generation. Stress. How do you handle it? Honestly, how do you address it? That's what God's looking for. And that's what he's looking for from us as we groom ourselves to be servants in the world tomorrow. He's not looking to see if everything is always going to be in a positive way, how you respond. That doesn't take any character at all, does it? Or very little. He looks to see how you're going through these trials and how you respond and react to them. You're candidates for the world tomorrow to be governors and rulers. You've heard it. Kings. To be a candidate for the world tomorrow means you got to be qualified. It just doesn't happen by happenstance, does it? Stress. How do we respond to these things? How about interpersonal relationships or personal relationships? It's amazing, newsflash, but we cause each other stress. Yeah. People cause people stress, especially individuals that aren't adhering to God's laws. How many of those in your life? Marital stress, family member stress, peer pressure stress. Peer pressure. Something you don't think about. You know, I heard examples talking to one of the individuals in here this at lunch that their granddaughter is getting bullied at school. It's just insane. You read about it, you hear about it, but you don't. It doesn't really affect you until you walk through and hear the example. This stuff will be put away. What a great opportunity. It just tells you how bad society is now and how vexed we are, stressed. Ephesians 5. I want to go through a couple verses here quickly, obviously. Ephesians 5 and verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as Christ is subject unto the wife, unto Christ, so let your wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, one of these things in premise says the marital stress. The Bible designed it, tells you how it should be designed. If everybody adhered to that, how easy would life be? If you stopped spousal abuse, if you stopped all this, all the arguments and the things that reflect in today's society. You know, when you take a look at all everything that's mentioned and all the problems we have, and somebody wants to argue that we're not living in a Babylonian society that's not biblical at all, you better step back and do an analysis. Is there marital stress? You bet. a lot of the factors we just mentioned. Work, financial, causes some of it. But how about just simple, where somebody is not adhering to God's laws and somebody else is within the relationship? Does that cause issues? You bet. A converted and unconverted mate. First Corinthians 7. First Corinthians 7 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse number 1. Now concerning the thing wherefore you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, nevertheless to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife to the husband. For the wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. And then it says defraud. And that word means do not deprive. Defraud ye not one of another, except it be consensual for a time. Does the Bible outline the biblical marital relationship? How will it be in the world tomorrow with the physical beings left? Do you see an issue today? You can walk through this. Family stress. Can we go to Proverbs and say, what about the son that's unruly? What about the daughter that won't do this? What happens is he even says, gets directly where if a son strikes a father, it's a death sentence in the Old Testament. And then it says, fathers, don't provoke your children. The entire body. All these physical things that apply to our human nature today, well, we have to overcome. But we're instructed, as first fruits, to have already conquered these things, brethren, or be in a point of conquering. And we've been instructed to live in a period of kindness, to actually have a benevolent attitude, to have an orientation that is spiritual. All these stresses should not be your hang-up, or you have something to fix. That's the principle. We should be beyond this. When you talk about personal relationships, that's major. That statement is major. Matthew 27. I think about peer pressure. I can't think of a better verse than Matthew 27. Better chapter. Matthew 27 and verse number 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou king, the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. You said, I am. And when he had accused the chief priests and the elders, he answering nothing. And then said Pilate unto them, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? These people are witnessing against you. You hear what they're saying? And he answered him, not a word. And so much that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barnabas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will I release unto you, Barnabas or Jesus, which is called Christ? And he knew that for envy they had delivered. He knew for envy they had delivered him. For when he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barnabas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, whether of twain will ye that I release? And they didn't cry Christ. Pilate says unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they all said, let him be crucified. And the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out the more, and they said, "Crucify him." And when Pilate saw that there was they could not prevail nothing, but that rather the tumult was made, he took water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this person. See you to it." Peer pressure? Did he have the authority? Might have been a riot. We know that it was prophesied. We knew what was going to take place, and Christ knew what was going to take place, didn't we? But was that peer pressure? When you consider, and that's all I'm asking you to do, when you consider things that go on in your daily life, will you just jump in, be part of the riot? You know it's wrong, as the Bible calls you on it. Personal relationships, giving into these actions. See the same example in Acts 12. Acts 12 and verse number 1. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to go further and take Peter also. Peer pressure? What type of an orientation? When you think about family stress, peer pressure, self-esteem stress, vanity stress, sometimes we bring it upon ourselves. How different will it be in our orientation in the world tomorrow? You live through these things today too. Our forefathers went through it. You see blame culture. You see all this adherence take place. And it vexes you. Well, good. Because it should. Your desire is to live a spiritual life. Your desire is to live a godly life, as it should be. And as you desire to live a godly life, we have a world out there with an adversary that doesn't want you to. And that's what causes you stress. Think about a world where there will be no adversary. This type of an attitude and orientation will be removed. That's the principle. You walk through these point by point, and we address five. I still have two to go. And I think I'm going to save them and combine them with a different segment of the sermon, But I want to cover all five. But I want you to remember, as we go through these principles, because I'm out of time, I want you to remember that you are working towards a world that's absolutely different from the world you live in today. That's the point. We're here as a foretaste of God's world tomorrow. It's not the same. It's not going to be the same. And it's not going to be the same that as we read our forefathers went through. How great is that? Stress comes from us from several different facets, doesn't it? And as you realize which facets you need to correct or need to be corrected in your life or addressed in your life, I guess I would ask you the question. Where do you turn for aid and help? Because that's what it's going to come to. And that's what this is all about. There is only one stress relief, and that's Christ. That's God. That's it. There's nothing else that's going to cure the ailments of this world. There's nothing else that's going to cure your personal problems. That's the principle. We can't do much about it today, can we? Because we're in the world. We're not part of it. But because we're still in the world, we can't do much with it. Now let me respond accordingly as we know. We've been given a direction to overcome as Christ overcame, as the apostles had to overcome. Because you look at the reward that's being offered to you and all this stuff that's being brought to remembrance. That's the principle. And these stresses, as we walk through and we pick up the last two next time, I would like to bring to the forefront of your mind, are sometimes man-made, caused by other individuals, caused by circumstances out of your control, caused by corporate greed, caused by medical desire to influence the masses. But there's only one cure. That's the premise. And why we're here is because that cure is going to come back and set his government. And that's what you're part of. So remember that as we pick this up next time.